afternoon, I'd like to speak to you about this thought from our text, the source of our righteousness. The source of our righteousness. We just learned last Sunday clearly that Paul, three times in one verse, uses that word beware, beware, beware. And he's definitely wanting everyone to be warned. Warned about the Judaizers. Warned about those people that would come in and try to add something to salvation. By the way, let me just say this afternoon that you don't have to be a Judaizer. If you're adding something to salvation, then you're adding something to the Bible, and that's not good. Amen. Nothing is needed except the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's done. It's finished. There's nothing that needs to be added to what Jesus Christ has already done. We're going to baptize next Sunday. And by the way, praise the Lord, we're going to baptize next Sunday. That's a blessing. But you know what? If those people that are going to get baptized next Sunday die before next Sunday, guess what? They're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
It's not about baptism. Baptism doesn't wash away our sin. Baptism doesn't take away our sin. Baptism is a picture. Just like I wear this wedding band right here to show that I'm married. It's a picture. If I take this ring off, it doesn't mean I'm not married anymore. I'm still married. But this is an identifier. When you get baptized, you are identifying with Jesus Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Right. And after we get saved, it's the first step that we all need to take, but it is not adding to our salvation. It is our first step as a believer. And so this is what was happening in Paul's day, is that they were adding things to the salvation. What were they adding? We're going to tell you a little bit more about that later on. Let's keep moving. And so what we read about here in these few verses today is Paul's testimony. By the way, if you're saved this afternoon, we were talking about this in Sunday school, then you have a testimony. Paul had quite the testimony. If you were paying attention, I'm sure you were, if you were paying attention while we were reading, Paul was listing his resume. This is me. And he was saying what he was telling us, and what he was telling the Philippians was, before I got saved, this was me. And we're going to look at that in detail in just a little bit. And I'm thankful for my testimony, by the way. By the way, be thankful for your testimony. You say, well, I don't have this person's testimony. You don't want to have that person's testimony. You want to be thankful for the testimony that you have. You want to be thankful for how God has worked in your life. You want to be thankful that God has allowed you. Think of this. God, in His sovereignty and His love, on this day, what is today, Brother John? What's the day today? You know, come on, tell me, what's the day today?
What's the day?
4th of August, in 2019. Thank you very much. Excuse me, television timeout. This is legal. Yeah, and this is the step today. I must explain why I'm taking a pill in front of you. I missed the step today coming out of the church, bringing stuff down here. I thought I was at the bottom step. We've all done this many times. And I thought I was at the bottom step. I wasn't at the bottom step. And so this knee right here that I've had a lot of work done on, that's been doing quite well, caught the brunt of it. But it's okay. Praise the Lord. That's my testimony. Let's just move on. Okay. And so, what was I saying? Oh, testimony. You have a testimony. By the way, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. You know, as a pastor, one of the blessings is to hear all. I've heard many of your testimonies. It's amazing what, if you can hear everybody's testimony in this room, wow, it's amazing the power of God. It's amazing the love of God. It's amazing the mercy of God. It is of His mercies that we are not consumed. And so Paul was telling us his testimony. By the way, a testimony is a great tool. So let's get into this outline. And I know you don't have the screen behind you to follow along. And maybe I talked too fast and that helps you. But I hope we can just stick together on this today and it'll be helpful. Number one, as I mentioned already, we see in verses 4, 5, and 6, we see Paul's past resume. resume. Letter A, underneath this, right into it, we see his confidence. Let's look at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Well, that's kind of an interesting statement if you look at the end of verse 3. Because we ended that last week with the end of verse 3. Paul says in verse number 3, have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. What he's saying is, there's a reason why I might have been able to have confidence in the flesh. Not that Paul had confidence in the flesh, but he's saying there are reasons why I might have been able to have confidence in the flesh. And then he goes and he talks about that, and we're going to spend a bit of time right here on letter B, and that is the word religion. Religion. Paul gives a list. You've read it before. He gives a list of where his confidence could have been placed. Now, he wasn't placing it there. Because if you notice, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, in verse number 8, I want to show it to you now before we look at this list. At the end of verse list, he says, I can count them but dung. I'm going to explain that. I'm going to explain that here in a little bit. But Paul is saying, my list, I don't have confidence. But he does list quite a few things here, and I want us to look at them because I believe they're applicable in 2019. Okay? I think you'll see why. Number one, we see he said he was circumcised the eighth day. Circumcised the eighth day. This was obviously, as we talked about last week, this was a main issue of Paul's day. What did this mean when Paul said, I was circumcised the eighth day? Here's what it meant. He was not a Gentile convert. Now that meant something. That meant something in this day. I didn't get saved into this thing. I was born into this thing. I've had people tell me to this day, I was born a Christian. By the way, you're not born a Christian. No one's born a Christian. No one's born anything. Yes, you might be born into a family that is religious, that is Muslim, that is Christian, that is whatever it may be. But there's nobody here that can say, and I can't say it, that I was born a Christian. No, there came a day in my life where, but so anyway, we'll come to that. But Paul is saying, he wants them to know that Paul is saying, I'm a true Israelite. I was born into this. But here's the statement. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Turn to Romans chapter 2. While you're turning to Romans chapter 2, each one of these, I'm going to give you a statement. If you normally take notes, I think it would be helpful for you to write these in. Because I've read through these numerous times in my life, and I'm learning and I'm still growing. But to me, these statements are really going to be helpful. So number one, he says, I'm circumcised the eighth day. The statement to that is, salvation does not come by religious rite. Salvation does not come by religious rite. Look what it says in Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one where? Inwardly. Notice this next statement. And circumcision is that of the what? Heart. In the spirit, not in the letter. Letter of what? Who knows what that means? The letter of the law. He's not talking about a letter of the alphabet. Okay? He's saying that it's not in keeping the law. It's not in the letter of the law, whose praise is not of men, but of who? But of God. So number one, underneath all of this, Paul's past resume, we saw letter A, confidence, letter B, religion. His first thing on his resume, so to speak, was circumcised the eighth day. However, salvation does not come by religious rite. Number two, he says, I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the stock of Israel. He was an Israelite by nationality and race. We talked about that already. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at Hebrew Bible moving here. We're going to be looking at his seven statements. We're going to look at a scripture that goes, if you will, against the seven statements. Okay? He says, I was of the stock of Israel. John chapter 1, verse 13. Which were born not of blood. Which were born again, not of blood. That's what I just said a few moments ago. No one was born Christian. That's what that's saying. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were born again by the Spirit of God. We were saved and born again of the Spirit of God. So he said, I'm of the stock of Israel. Second statement to that. Salvation does not come by nationality or race. Amen. There's not one, only one race that can be saved. Every kindred and every tribe and every tongue can come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what stock you're of. It doesn't matter what nation I'm from. It doesn't matter who my parents were, what nationality, what language, what culture. None of that has anything to do with it. But Paul is saying here, he's letting them know that this was my way of thinking. Remember where he goes with this. He said, this way of thinking is like dung. Strong language. But it's needed. It's needed language, and we don't want to change it. So he says, circumcised the eighth day. I was talking to Israel. Number three, and I'm kind of partial to this one. He says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin. He's saying, I'm named after the first king of Israel. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. It was a heritage that was greatly esteemed by Jews. To have this heritage. They had no choice. By the way, we had no choice where we were born, now did we? No choice. Where God put us. Praise the Lord, the gospel was given to us. Then we had a choice. Then we had a choice to say yes to the Holy Spirit of God or no to the Holy Spirit of God. And I wonder this afternoon, have you made the right choice yet? Are you saved? We have, I don't know how many nationalities we have represented in this room this afternoon. A good number of them. I wonder, are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Paul said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. By the way, Benjamin was one of the two tribes that remained loyal to David's line. The tribe of Benjamin was one of the two tribes that returned to Israel after the exile. Paul is saying something by saying this. This was where I'm from. Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Romans 2:11. If you're there, say amen. Okay, let's go. For there is no respect of persons with God. Right there it is. It doesn't matter what tribe you're from today. It doesn't matter what kindred we are today. Salvation does not come by rank. Salvation does not come by religious right. Salvation does not come by nationality or race. Salvation does not come by rank. Number four, Paul said, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. What's he saying? He's saying, I am a traditionalist. I am a traditionalist. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 7. A little bit of a Bible study here this afternoon. So purposely pinch ourselves, and it's a good thing we're not upstairs in the auditorium today, right? But all of these, while we might think, well, this has nothing to do with 2019, you know what? There are people all over Burnaby, there are people all over the city that you live in that are believing they're on their way to heaven for one of these reasons that Paul is claiming. But there is on their way to hell, maybe in a nice car, in a nice home, in a religious lifestyle, so to speak, as the most wicked sinner, whoever that is today in the earth. I don't know who it is. That's what we need to learn from this as we go out into this world that we live in. And maybe someone here, you need to hear this today because you're trusting in something other than what the Bible says is needed to go to heaven. So he said, I'm a traditionalist. Look what it says in Mark 7:13. Making the word of God of none effect through your what? Tradition. Which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Number four, salvation does not come simply, like we said, by tradition. tradition. What's the next thing he says? Number five, he says, I'm a Pharisee. See it there, verse number five? I'm a Pharisee. Paul was a super conservative. He was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were a very strict group of people. Okay? How many of you have heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay? The Ten Suggestions, right? Okay, that's not what they're called. They're called the Ten Commandments. And by the way, they are still applicable in 2019. They're still applicable. Please know that those commandments are needed. Those commandments show you and me we need Jesus. They're very, very important. But the Pharisees took it to an all-time high, all-time level. They came up with 613 more laws. You think the Ten Commandments are a lot? They had 613 laws. And within these 613 laws, 365 of them were negative commands. Don't do this, don't do this, don't. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read all 365 of them. For one, I don't have them all in front of me, and I didn't memorize them. Okay? Here, five. 365 don'ts and 248 do's made 613 laws. By the time Jesus Christ came, these laws had so burdened the people and it made them arrogant and prideful that Pharisees were just like this. Well, I'm a Pharisee. I'm good. I keep 613 laws. I've not done all of these, and I've done all of these. I don't need anything to do with this Jesus. And pride came in. By the way, possibly the number one sin that puts people in hell is pride. An unwillingness to bow the knee and say, I am not worthy, I am a sinner, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone. And by the way, men and women alike, we are prideful people. That's what Paul was saying. This was me. Paul is saying, this was me before I got saved. I was full of Paul. I was a Pharisee. Turn quickly to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We've got seven things that Paul said, and we've got seven verses to support why that was wrong. It's Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Many of you have committed it to memory. Titus 3, 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but I get all 613 laws. Good. It's not by works of righteousness which we have. I've kept the Ten Commandments. Good. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. By the way, I don't know anybody that's kept all the Ten Commandments. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Number five, salvation does not come by good works. It doesn't come by keeping the law. Number six. Notice we see number six. He says, concerning zeal. So he's saying, I was a very zealous religious man. That I was so zealous, what did I do? I persecuted the church. Now that's interesting. I persecuted the church. I did something for God. Persecuting the church. Now, we would say, what does that mean? Turn over to Acts chapter 22. Paul assumed, here's the problem. Paul assumed that Jesus Christ's claims were false. And so if they're false, they're not only false, but they're also evil or wicked. And so, in the sense of zeal, Paul thought Christianity is a problem that must be eliminated. Christianity is a problem that must be dealt with. Acts chapter 22, I didn't turn there, and you probably already have. Acts 22, look at verse number 3 and 4. I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city in Cilicia, Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous for God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison, both men and women. Paul is in a time here of sharing his faith and defending his faith, and he's just reiterating what he did, and he thought he was doing it for God. Okay, we can say this, Paul was sincere, sincerely wrong. Number six, salvation does not come by sincerity. I have met some of the most sincere religious people that are lost and on their way to hell, Pastor. But they're sincere. In fact, I would say this very carefully and lovingly, more sincere than some Christians I know. They're dedicated to their cause, even though their cause is wrong. They're dedicated. Oh my God help you, and my God help me, who we do have the truth. We have the truth. This isn't tradition. This is truth. We have God's Word. This isn't the Baptist book. This is God's Word. This is the Bible. We who have the truth, may we seek to have a sincerity to live for the truth, to give the truth, to share the truth. Well, Paul was sincere, but zeal doesn't cut it. Then, number seven, lastly, he said, I was blameless in the law. Turn over to James chapter 2 quickly. James chapter 2. He said, I was blameless in the law. What does this mean? This means that when you looked at Paul on the outside, everything looked great. He looked the part on the outside. I mean, he had everything going for him. When you saw Paul, you saw somebody who you would look at and in the religious community greatly respected because he was blameless. They had nothing on him. He dotted every I, crossed every T, religiously speaking. Look at James 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Salvation does not come by legalistic living. If I can just keep all of this, if I can just do this, if I can just do that, if I can just do what Pastor Turner says from the pulpit. Think about it. Unless Pastor Turner is telling you that salvation is by grace through faith, that's the only thing that's needed to be saved. You can try and try and try and try and try, but you're not going to get saved by trying. You're going to get saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. A gift cannot be earned.
That's right.
A gift cannot be earned. A gift can only be received. John 1, 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So, number one, we see Paul's past resume. Let's jump into number two, Paul's present reckoning. Paul's present reckoning. Look now. So now he's told the Philippians, if anybody could be, what was the word? If anybody could have confidence in their resume, it was me, and here's why. And he lists all those things. But now, he's going to bring it into perspective, and he's going to say some things that I believe we need to really pay attention to. Verse 7, he says, but. I've just given you seven things, but. Stop right here. But. Whenever I read that, I think, okay, that's a wonderful list, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss, Christ. Letter A, we see counting the loss. Let's look at that word counted. The word counted. One, two, three, four, not exactly. Counting means to consider, to account. It means to measure carefully. Okay? For instance, it does mean 1, 2, 3, 4 in this respect. You and your siblings have so many cookies left. Your mom says, split them evenly. You know what you're going to do? Counting time. And you're going to make sure that whoever's doing the counting knows how to count. And if they don't know how to count, then it's under review until we can find somebody that can count the right numbers. That's what he's saying. The same thing here. Counted. Something that can be measured carefully. In other words, he says that the lost man looks at verses 5 and 6. The unsaved man looks at verses 5 and 6 and says, that's amazing. If I could only have that on my resume. We're talking about now. I mean, we're talking about right here at this time. Okay? Remember when the Bible was written and who it was written to and the time it was written and who is there. But we can make an application from it. But he's saying the unsaved man would look at that resume and say, boy, if I could have that. But that's not what Paul thought about his own resume. He sees it as loss. What he used to think was profitable, and it was. He was who's who among Pharisees. What he once was profitable is no longer profitable. What once used to be his goal and his focus was now in his rearview mirror, forgetting those things which are behind. He's going to say that in a little bit. Not today in our reading, but... And he's going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I've got different things I'm pressing for now. I have different things I'm headed for now than I did when I was religious but lost. It cannot compare to what he has now in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we today who are believers need to make sure that whatever we were, whoever we were, whatever we had before we got saved, nothing in that past life, nothing before we became a Christian compares to the freedom and compares to the joy and compares to what God has given us so freely today. Paul says, I used to think it was something to be looked at in a certain way, but now I look at it's profitable to live for Jesus. It's profitable to count them, as he says later, but dung. In other words, he denied everything that he thought was important. I want you to think about it. What do you think is important? What do you think is valuable? I wonder if, even though we're a Christian on our way to heaven, I wonder if what we think is important and what we think is valuable, when we listed it, would actually go under the way we were before we got saved. More than it would now that we're Christian. Letter B. We see counting the gain. Counting the gain. Notice the word excellency. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Excuse me, the angle that I'm reading at in a new Bible, it's the same Bible, but man, I'm having trouble reading. Excuse me, I do know how to read. Not count, I know how to read. Okay. Excellency, what does this mean? To be superior. To be better than. To surpass. To excel. All of his religious accomplishments. All of his religious resume. All of his religious involvement. All of it was inferior now. All of it was inferior to one thing, his relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And I wonder this afternoon, it's 5:05, if that clock is right, on the fourth day of August, 2019, I wonder if we could say that everything in our life, everything that we've done, everything that we are, is inferior to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he said. That's where I want to be. I don't know if I'm there. You know why? Because pride. Because everyone in this room knows. We all have seasons of this, and we're pretty good people. We've done this, and we've done that, and we've done this, and we've done that. And by the way, praise God for what He's allowed us to see done as believers. Praise God for the people that we've been able to share the gospel to. Praise God for the people that have shared the gospel to us. Praise God for all of it. But ladies and gentlemen, all of that is not for our personal gain. All of that is not for our personal praise. It is to the glory of God. I love what He said there. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Number one, underneath this, He said the knowledge of Christ. And number two, He said the winning of Christ. I think I've been into this already, but let me just read here a little bit. We learn in these two verses, verses 7 and 8, we learn in these two verses that nothing should be more important to the believer than the believer's relationship with Christ. I wrote down some questions. Would you please listen to these questions? I'm just going to read them right from my notes. And would you please let the Holy Spirit of God challenge you with what? And I wrote these carefully and slowly. Because I needed to answer these questions. Number one, what are you placing ahead of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. Think about it. Can we just? I know, preaching. You don't want to have quiet, too much quiet moments. But what am I placing ahead of my relationship with Jesus Christ? Number two. What is it that keeps you? And these are just from my heart to us. What is it that keeps you from faithfully being in the house of God? What keeps us from faithfully being at church? You don't have to tell me. I'm just saying, write these down and think about it. What keeps me from a close relationship with God? What keeps me from being in church? Number three, what keeps me from spending time daily in this spiritual food? What keeps me from spending more time in this book? What keeps me from praying every day? What keeps me from praying for my children and my grandchildren? What keeps me? What keeps me? What keeps me? Wait, that's what Paul is saying in these two verses. What is it that keeps you from sharing your faith? What is it that keeps us from sharing our faith? Notice Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. Whatever you and I come up with to those questions that I just asked, the Apostle Paul says, it's dumb. Now, if your answer was, I was in the hospital, I couldn't get to church, I'm talking about that. You've known me long enough, you know my heart on this matter. But I believe we can clearly say that whatever it is that keeps us from this book, Paul says, it's dung. What is that? Rubbish. Or another word, garbage. You go to my house today, you're going to find our garbage is in the shed. We have to put ours in the shed because we have those four-legged brown furry things running around our neighborhood. But you know what we don't do, Mika? Probably not at your house either. We don't have our garbage can in the living room. I'm talking about the main one. We have a small one, and when that one fills up, today it filled up. One of our daughters took it out. I won't say who. I can't even remember who it was. Because then there'll be glory in it. Normally I do it, which is fine. I don't mind. But you know what? We don't let that garbage can get filled up and then overflow and then there's garbage all over the floor and stuff all over the floor. You know what we do? As soon as we possibly can, we get the garbage out of the house. We don't want to be anywhere near rubbish. okay, if you're from the UK. We don't want to be anywhere near rubbish. We don't want to be anywhere near garbage. We don't want to be anywhere near King James Bible dung. Out. Get rid of it. Are you following me? Whatever it is that gets in the way of your relationship with Christ, get rid of it. Remove it. What's taking your time? What's taking my time to keep me from this book? Get rid of it. Paul says it here. Let's look at it again. Verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And all the things that he's talking about were those seven things that we just read about. I've lost all of that. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Because I say it's garbage. I say it's rubbish. I say it's dumb. How much value does this have? Endless. You know how much value this has for you, if you're a husband, if you're a husband, listen up husbands. This book is so valuable if you're a husband today. That if there's something in the way of this book, you need to get rid of it, because what's going to happen is it's going to affect the way we who are husbands, be a husband. Doesn't matter what your title is today. Single adult. Senior saint. Wife, teenager, college and career, whatever. Single mom. This is valuable. But you know what? It's so sad. Here's what's so sad, Pastor Nathan. What's so sad is that while we're carrying this, many times we have a bag of garbage behind us. And we're dragging our garbage with us. If you did that in society today, and I'm going to turn the other kind. If you did that in society today, I would wonder, something is wrong. I'm not trying to be funny or cute. But we would be worried, Brother John, if we saw you walking down North Road with a bag of garbage behind you. That's not normal. And if somebody is, I'm not being unkind to them. In the spiritual life, it's not normal for a Christian to carry around dung. But we do. We carry around things that have no value. Why don't we do what we do? Why don't we do what we do with our garbage? Get it out of the house. Get it out of this house. This is a house, amen? Not made with hands. And you know, sometimes Pastor Turner gets garbage in his house. Hey, I'm as susceptible to sin as anyone in this room. And I want to get rid of that stuff out of my life ASAP. Because it affects every relationship that I have. Paul's past resume, number 2. Paul's present reckoning. Let's look at our last verse, number 3. We see righteousness in Christ. Righteousness in Christ. Number letter A, we see position in Christ. Position in Christ. Not because of our righteous life. Turn over to Romans 3 quickly. We're just about done here. Romans 3. Thank you for listening. Service is going to be done earlier than normal. Thank you for listening. Unless God gets me going further into this, we'll let the Lord lead. But my voice is about done, so I'm about done. Position in Christ. Look at verse Romans 3. Many of you could quote it. Our position in Christ is not because of our righteous life. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none what? Righteous. No, not one. There isn't one person in this room that is completely righteous without Jesus Christ. No one. No one. No one. You see, Israel's problem in this day was that they tried to keep the law and establish their own righteousness by the law. You can imagine if anybody kept anywhere near 613 of those laws. Let's say they got 520 of them. Well, I tell you, I think that's pretty good. If I got 520, I got 613. Well, you don't get righteous by keeping your own laws. No one gets righteous that way. We get righteous by putting on the robe that God gives us in salvation. For under the law, there would be a great problem, and that was this. You would die if you violated one point. So even if that guy kept Calvary, I just said a moment ago, he would have violated the law over 100 times or close to it. That's it, done. Turn to Romans 10. If you're there, turn to Romans 10 now, a few pages over. Romans 10, let's look at verse 3 quickly. Romans 10, verse 3. Thank you for listening. Trust that God is speaking to you today. Romans 10, verse 3, the Bible says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." Ignorant of God's righteousness. No one in here, by the way, no one in here can say that today anymore after today. Can't say it. Because you're hearing the truth. Not because of me, but because of this book.
Amen.
You're hearing about God's righteousness from the Bible. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," this is what we just said a moment ago, "and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the," what?
Righteousness
of God. "For Christ is the end of the law." Amen. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that," what?
Believeth.
Why is somebody going to go to hell? The sin of unbelief. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's why somebody's going to go to hell. Unbelief. Didn't put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll have a lot of numerous other things, but that's what sends people to hell. Unbelief. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses," here we go, verse 5, "for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." We've all violated God's laws. Righteousness in Christ. Letter A, position in Christ. Letter B, it's provided by Christ. Turn to Romans 9. Stand close to where we're turning. Turn to Romans 9, 31. Romans 9, 31. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, for by grace are we saved through faith." They sought it not by faith. How did they seek it? "But as it were by the works of the law." There it is again. Those 613 laws. We can just keep as many of them as possible. Surely, you know. Doesn't that sound familiar? When I get to heaven, as long as my good outweighs my bad, surely I'll get in. The teaching hasn't stopped from the law, from the Jewish law to 2019. We still have people that are hoping that their good outweighs their bad. I'm sorry, they're going to be sorely disappointed. And if that's where you're putting your faith, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because there is no measuring. There is no measuring scale in heaven. Look what it says clearly here. "But as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone." By the way, the stumbling stone and the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. "As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense." And, I like this word, don't you? "Whosoever."
Yeah.
Romans 9:33. "And whosoever believeth on Him," the rock, the stumbling stone, "shall not be ashamed." Only through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ can we be right in the sight of God the Father. I read to you 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He hath made Him," Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why could Jesus die for the sins of the whole world? He knew no sin. And he was God's, is, and was God's Son, which gave him the right to die for your sin, for my sin, and for the sins of the whole world. I found this quote. It is one thing to be religious enough to get into the synagogue. Quite another thing to be righteous enough to get into heaven. Lots of people today religiously went into a place of worship. They religiously went there. By the way, they sincerely went there. In many cases, sincerely. Like Paul. Thinking that that rubbing of a bead, or that chanting of something, or that even that baptism sprinkling, or just that saying these prayers repetitively, or whatever it may be, that's going to be good. It's one thing to be religious enough to get into the synagogue, quite another to be righteous enough to get into heaven. So we all have a choice to make. Carry the burden of religion. Carry the burden of religion. And that's what it is. Religion is a burden. When you're involved in religion and not in a relationship, you have no way of knowing when you die if you're going to heaven or not. It's all hope so. Talk about a burden. Going through life never having the assurance that heaven is my home. That's not what Jesus Christ died for. That's not what God gave His Son for. Carry the burden of religion, or number two, receive the blessing of salvation. You're not saved here this afternoon because of the choices you have. You can continue to carry the burden of religion, or you can receive the blessing of salvation. I would say a good percentage of us are saved in here. I think there's probably several people that are not saved. I don't know who you are because I don't know your heart, but God does. But Paul, after he got saved, he realized that all those things were of no value. I wonder today how many of us, we read our Bibles, and we could read it more, but I mean, we're in church and praise God, but how many of us today, there's too many things in our life that they don't have value. But they're captivating us. Maybe we need to take the admonition of Paul and say, you know what? Some of these things, I gotta get rid of them. Because they stink. You know, dung stinks. Garbage stinks. And it doesn't make life pleasant at all. You've all smelled something that's been dying for a long time, haven't you? What is that? Get that out. You know, I wonder what is there in my life that God is saying today, Turner, this stinks. Get it out of your life. It's of no value. It's taking up a spot where I can put some